Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing JCPenney Home Services, now offering custom window treatments, HVAC installation, bathroom remodels, and more. Call 855-JCP-3463 or visit jcp.com/homeservicesradio to make an appointment. Special financing available. Get everything you need for your home all under our roof. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. JCPenney Home Services, LLS. Subcontracts work to licensed or registered contractors that are background checked. Arizona Plumbing Number 310873. HVAC 311001. General Contracting 311000. Financing subject to credit approval.
Blog Talk Radio.
Cloud of abundance, keep on following me. I see the people up there. All around me is poor prosperity.
Band for that inspirational theme song, Clouds of Abundance. You have tuned into the Reconnected Show with your host, Nazim Rashid. Nazim is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child's Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazim has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyles to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which gives life. I am Dorothy Rashid, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazim Rashid.
Oh, there I am. Yes, there I am. Okay. It is another day in paradise. Paradise here in the Phoenix, Arizona area in the good old USA. And I want to welcome some of our out-of-country fans. We have new ones on board. As of last week, we have India has checked in. That's wonderful. So India adds to the list of Australia. We have Germany. We have Malaysia, Indonesia, and South Africa, and Singapore. Okay. Also one more, Canada. Yes, Canada. Yes, they checked in too. So we have some real good out-of-the-country guests who are tuning in to the show, to our Facebook messages, and it's wonderful. So we appreciate that. And by the way, our Facebook, we have, you can go into facebook.com/childselflove. Again, child self love. And you can like our page there and you can receive our postings from that site. Okay. So welcome all into our Paradise One studio. Yes. Where every day is a holiday. And the party never stops. Yay!
Yay!
Okay, all right, all right. Yeah, see, my studio audience needs a little tweaking there, but that's okay. Welcome again to the Reconnected Show, which is based on the chapters directly or indirectly in my book, Reconnected. And we have an opening prayer we always do to bless the program. And like I've mentioned before, on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I'm using God as an universal theme, and it's not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. I want to make sure everybody understands that part. This is not a religious show at all, or have religious messages. We have universal messages on the show that can help people all across the religious boards and non-religious boards, all right? So with the name of God, we thank you for the possibilities and probabilities of a productive, prosperous, and peaceful day. Thank you for creating this moment in time as we reflect your attributes to the best of our ability. Thank you for choosing this time for us as we share your blessings with others. Thank you for a clear and focused mind, ready to receive more energy and grace from you. Amen. Okay. All right. For our show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
We all have experienced disappointments in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim's book and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. The long-awaited book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is available now at www.cloudsofabundance.com, amazon.com, Healthy Habits Health Food Store in Phoenix, Arizona, barnesandnobles.com, Jazzy Yogurt Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address at our book club at gmail.com. That's N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, book club at gmail.com. Or his website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. You'll find information such as live coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All live coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishment of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his book and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you. Nazim?
Yes, yes it is. Thank you. Yes, it is time for the new you, and you know it is time for the new you to come out. Yes, 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 yes. Take it out of the closet. It's time. Expose it. Feed it. Nurture it. Love it. Yes, the more you feed it, the more it grows. Absolutely. Well, yes, this is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. The discussions will be based on the chapters my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. You will learn to become a time traveler. Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun. Time travel. You know, we can time travel, by the way. Yeah, we saw that, Michael Fox, Back to the Future kind of thing. Yeah, you can go up and down. Absolutely. Yes, in my book, I talk about how we can do that. Yeah, traveling back to the time and place of your upbringing. Becoming a senior advisor, next door friend of the family, and mentor to your child self. You will create the fictional character, the mentor, you, acting as the mentor or godparent to your child self. You will have sessions. Sound like fun. You're just kind of writing your own movie, producing your own set there, you know? You have sessions with your child self as you will address those negative events that you still carry with you and change the outcome to one of your desire. Yes, you can do this. This way you will create real internal change in your life and be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues. It is also for parents who want new information for raising the best emotionally balanced children possible. I have a three-part parenting video on YouTube based on my book. Just go to YouTube.com and put in the search Reconnected, The Parent's Manual. It'll pop right up. Yep. Reconnected is also for mentors who can appreciate additional tools for their mentees, their students, and teachers who would cherish more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. Couples wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered, such as communication and listening skills. Yeah, yeah, very, very important. Those in recovery will benefit from Reconnected, as I have over 100 pages dedicated to addictions, codependency, and recovery, and my 12 principles of recovery chapter and codependency chapter. This recovery program is not just for those afflicted with drug addictions. It is also beneficial to those suffering from anger, abuse, compulsive disorders, overeating, gambling, sexual, and controlling issues. Reconnected is also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to their higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. You see, it's really a multi-purpose manual, 6 manuals in one, a parent's manual, a teacher's manual, a recovery manual, a mentor's manual, a relationship manual. Yeah, a relationship manual. It's very important for couples to understand that. Your communication and listening skills, gratitude, forgiveness, optimism, faith, you know, all those things are key ingredients to having a healthy, wonderful marriage, healthy, wonderful relationship. Absolutely. Yeah, last week on our Happy News, we talked about a couple who had been married, not living, married 81 years. He was 101, I think she was 93, I think. And yes. And in the picture, he has his hand on her knee. He says he loves putting his hand on her knee. How about that? Yeah, thrill's not gone there. Well, all right. Yeah, so they know something about these areas that I'm talking about right now. All right, Reconnected is also a manual, a human manual, for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories, loving yourself at deep levels, and creating the life you've always desired. Yes, absolutely. Okay, for you regulars, you know we always have a Happy News segment at our All Positive News Network, APN Network. So with that, in our international and national news desk, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
Today's article is named Gymnastics and Acrobatics Help Performer Rise Above Addiction. And it's dated November 28, 2012. I don't see the author on this printout, but it's if you Google this, you'll be able to see more detailed information about who wrote it. His name is Joe Pudignano, the Crystal Man in Cirque du Soleil's touring show Totem. He shares a story of how he was a rising gymnast with Olympic potential who came crashing down into a life of alcohol, cocaine, and heroin addiction. After two life-threatening overdoses, he finally got clean and says it was gymnastics that pulled him back to life. Spotlight drenched over me in a warm glow, and in this illumination, I can no longer hide my past from the world. Any insecurities will be exposed to an audience of thousands. In fear I hold my breath, binding myself to the band's soft prelude, slowly unraveling myself from a tight spinning ball. Evolutio means unrolling in Latin. And in the theme of our first Cirque du Soleil show, Totem, evolution is the common thread in my life, from athlete to drug addict to performer. The stage light steering beam focuses on me, refracting off of the thousands of shards of glass covering my body. It reminds me of the solitary point of the needle piercing my vein. Is my past reflecting through my present as a man covered in broken glass? I wanted my body to become the map of stars over our heads, with my fresh needle holes and track marks to become the very constellations that astronomers search for. My future mapped out in my skin. I entered the needle into my arm, and it was painless and sensational. As I pulled back the plunger, a dazzling display of blood danced onto the heroin like a liquid firecracker. And this, too, were always meant to be together. A pas de deux, moments before the high rushed in, guilt forced over me to capture myself in the mirror, exposing the boy I used to be. My innocence wanted to remember itself, filling my mind with beautiful images as a young gymnast. I loved gymnastics more than anything I had ever known, and it had become my church. I couldn't believe I used to have such a powerful dedication to the sport, which now seemed inconceivable because now my dedication turned into darkness. Instead of using my body to its full potential, and my purpose became to eradicate all pain and shame, I traded everything I ever loved and cared about for the spell of drugs, and in exchange was guaranteed a life of pain and misery. I would have given back every wonderful high for a moment of sobriety after living years and years of slavery to this cruel existence. I became the victim of my own making, and I was forever trapped in a prison made of syringes. But like the powerful emanation bursting off my costume, my soul wouldn't allow me to quit trying, and I continued to crawl through hell. As I began to continue to bend deeper, I instantly think of my contortion teacher, Jonathan Nelson, who trained me for this very moment. Together we tried to transform a beat-up, withering drug addict into a powerful body of strength, flexibility, grace, and humility. The lights explode, the music howls, and I slip backwards against all the terrible things that stood in my way. Within the moment, I have no physical body, no time, just pure energy rushing through my veins, overpowering and transcending any blissful heroin high I could ever produce. All the drugs on earth cannot compare to the simple grace and joy of the movement. This is absolute union of mind, body, and spirit. I am honored to return to my beautiful art that I believed I had lost forever. Like most addicts, I believed I could never stop using drugs. I believed with pure conviction that a life lived sober could never compare to the chemical highs of drugs. I was wrong, and all I was doing was trying to kill the human spirit. My sobriety is a living amends to all the angels I single-handedly destroyed. I stay sober as an example to those who aspire for more, but are pulled deeper into the addiction cycle, taking them further from their dreams and goals. We are all connected through years of I could have been, someday, and they don't understand. If you are suffering, please don't give up. You are not alone, and there are great lights out there who have traveled down the same path. Together, we can become the wonderful people we were meant to be. Oh, what a story. Nazim?
Yeah, absolutely. And, this guy, you know, acrobat. And unfortunately, you know, he had that spirit in him, you know, that drove him to go beyond his physical realm, and so he went to the area of drugs and arena of drugs, and it almost took him out. So there's a great story of someone who went out to the dark area of the drug lifestyle, drug culture, and came back and is living to tell a story, and he's an acrobat again in the circus, it's wonderful, wonderful. And as you regulars know, I have over 100 pages, and I mentioned it in my introduction, on addictions and codependency. It's very, very important to go through that material. You know, it's not necessarily for drug use. It's really for, internalizing a new life for yourself. Yeah, be it drugs or compulsive disorders or abuse or gambling, overeating. And it's very important to understand what needs to be done if you want to have a new life. You have to reprogram yourself. And we're going to talk about reprogramming today, actually. Matter of fact, that's even a good a segue into our program of positive indoctrination. It's all about reprogramming, and that's what you have to do in order to have this new life. Yeah, today's theme, indoctrination and insulation of parenting styles, a chosen parenting style. Yeah, a chosen parenting style. Your parents, you do have a choice. What parenting style are you going to be utilizing with your children? That's a good question to ask yourself. What parenting style are you going to use? Huh? This will form your children's mind for the rest of their lives. What style are you going to use? Okay, with Dr. E. Douglas Brown. In our last session with Dr. Brown, he said that insulation, and we talked about that as a parenting style, is a teaching style based on the opinions of the caretakers. Media, racism, and religion are also other forms and sources of indoctrination. He segued into the topic of positive indoctrination. He said, it is teaching your children to be happy about learning and to be themselves, to be okay with expressing themselves, to be okay with being themselves. That's so important. I didn't get that when I was growing up. It's so important to be okay being themselves. Boy, wonderful. Positive indoctrination includes teaching your children to have courage and honesty, to love truth, and to love learning. Yes, to learn and appreciate empathy, to be empathic with others, to stand up for their rights. Positive indoctrination provides the insulation necessary for the negative elements the child will be encountering. Well, Dr. Brown will continue his discussion today. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So today we'll continue. Bring him on loud and clear. Dr. Brown, are you there?
Great, great segue into our discussion today. Very good. I'm doing very good. Happy to be on.
All right, fantastic. I'm so glad you're on. And I had no idea. So it's really something how when you allow God to kind of take over, great things happen. Like the article was about addictions, and I didn't know consciously that it had a relationship to what we're talking about, because we're really talking about programming.
Absolutely. Positive. Everything is programmed except the ultimate programmer.
Uh-oh.
Everything else is programmed.
Yes, sir. Let's go right here with this. I love this idea. So let's go. That's another topic. Let's go. Let's go right here with this. It's fantastic.
All right. I want to open up with some reflection and thought that I didn't have time to share in our last session.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a saying of sorts. So check
it
out.
All right. Let's do that.
If you don't indoctrinate yourself, if you don't indoctrinate your children and the people you love, the world will indoctrinate them. In other words, one of the essential and very important things that positive indoctrination does is positive indoctrination prepares a person for the journey of life. Positive indoctrination teaches, programs, or inculcates in a person the ideas, the kinds of attitudes and values that lead to a healthy, successful life. healthy spiritually and mentally.
Mm.
You see, many times when you use the English word indoctrination, it has a negative connotation. Your indoctrination, oh my goodness, that's forcing me to accept something. It's forcing me to believe something.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, in negative indoctrination, you can't ask questions. You can't think about what you're being told critically. You just have to passively accept it, which undermines your own freedom. It undermines your own self. In positive indoctrination, you must ask questions. You must think about what you're being told. Positive indoctrination is not brainwashing. And I'm giving these bullets because it's important to know the difference.
All right.
See, essentially, the word indoctrination means to program. And I'm not coming out of the dictionary. I'm coming just out of what we know about daily life teaching.
Okay.
Let me give you an example of a very common example of indoctrination that many in the audience have heard, probably in one form or another. Phrase: it takes a child to raise a village. It takes a village to raise a child. Now, which one of them?
Well.
Child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's a form of indoctrination. Because essentially it is what? It's a very poetic and catchy way of saying that you must learn to work with others. You must learn to, as when you become an adult, that you play a role in helping raise other children. You play a role as an adult in society to make sure that the younger people that follow you are hopefully as healthy as they can be, and they will maintain the kinds of traditions. They will maintain the practices that help keep our fabric together, that help keep our society together. So you see, positive indoctrination is nothing new. It's just simply we don't use those terms. Examples of positive indoctrination, they begin right in the family, part of the education process. It's clearly in the media. We all belong to group. A human being is not a creature that lives on no contacts with other people. So positive indoctrination, self-perception of others.
Mm-hmm.
So parental identification, right? Parental indoctrination. Chosen teaching. Do you want me to repeat that?
Yeah, please do that.
Parental indoctrination is a chosen teaching. In other words, it's a teaching that's chosen and selected by parents. Hopefully caring parents and nurturing parents who want to teach their children healthy, positive values. They want to teach their children and share and pass on to their children healthy, positive attitudes and ideas about life. And they want their children to ask questions about these attitudes. Mommy or daddy, well, why is it this? Why does it happen to be this way?
Right.
Why do you believe that? You know, the more common forms of indoctrination, typically people talk about them in the context of religious beliefs.
Okay.
Or, for example, if you join the military.
Right.
That's a no-answer kind of indoctrination.
Oh, my God.
See, no-answer indoctrination is negative. You cease to be yourself. It's not a matter of growing you and helping you be helpful. It's a matter of blind obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that positive indoctrination does not lead to blind obedience. It's not blind obedience. We can't recognize the extent to which we are indoctrinated because of the form that it comes in. But in fact, it constitutes chosen teaching. It constitutes the lessons of life that we learn from our parents, the lessons of life that we learn from those very good teachers we've had in life. Now, when you come on with the show, you always begin by reminding the audience about that mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Mentor, and that how they can use their imagination and they can have a friend who lives next door.
Yes.
They can have someone, that mentor, who has sessions with them as a child. They can time travel.
Right.
They can go back with this mentor that helps them reconnect. Am I right in that?
Absolutely. Right. Yep, absolutely.
Do you know that that's a form of positive indoctrination?
Mm-hmm.
You know that's a form of positive reprogramming and recovery?
Absolutely.
Because what happens is that those issues, those things that are very difficult for me in my life that I have to revisit, I've got to change classes. The indoctrination that I've received before has either been unhealthy or inadequate. So I've got to go back and change classes and get another teacher. I've got to find a mentor who can help and show me the way in terms of relooking at situations, reassessing them, looking back at my relationships and experiences, and placing those relationships and experiences on another foundation, on another, so to speak, foundation where I can look at them in a far more positive, truthful manner. Now, I basically depend on you to keep me to keep me online. You see?
I'm with you. This is perfect.
Okay, because, you know, some in your audience may feel it may be a little difficult for them to follow this chosen teaching. You see, the chosen teaching that a parent selects to share with their children, a chosen teaching about life, about personal worth,
mm-hmm.
self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
what it means to love self and to love others, a chosen teaching about the world, a chosen teaching about other people. Is the world good? Is it best to be a good person? Is it best to assume that things are right? Is it best to be happy, or is that chosen teaching one that's negative?
Mm-hmm.
That's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Is that chosen teaching one that tells a child you are superior to others, you are better than others? You know,
right.
You know, indoctrination doesn't come simply in words. It doesn't come in words, and it doesn't come in storybooks. Indoctrination also takes the form of actions and deeds. You see, when my daughters were much younger, when they were children, I thank the higher power for having the insight to recognize that my actions, how I behaved around them, was a form of teaching. It was a form of indoctrination.
Okay.
How I talk to my spouse, how I talk to other people, you know, how I related to other people is a kind of teaching and indoctrination. You see, Now, as I started out in the discussion, I said, if you don't indoctrinate your children, the world will indoctrinate them.
Oh, yes.
You can count on that.
Oh, yes.
And positive indoctrination simply means a chosen teaching that is true, teaching that fosters the growth and development of a person, a teaching that fosters courage, it fosters love. And it's also, positive indoctrination is a teaching that helps an individual cope with life circumstance. Helps the person recognize that, you know, that life involves disappointments, frustrations. There are a lot of things out there that are wrong, you know, that are unjust, but there is much more that is good. There's much more justice, fairness, and love in the world, but it depends on how you are indoctrinated.
Right, right. And this is why I had a subtitle of, I said, positive indoctrination, a chosen parenting style.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. interesting, like you say, intuitively how you use teaching. That's something. Well, see, parental indoctrination is a chosen teaching.
Yeah.
Now let's take some examples. Let's take an example.
Let's do that.
A child. Well, let's take Johnny. Johnny is 12 years old.
Okay.
He lives in a middle-class neighborhood. Well, we can change the specifics, but he lives in a fairly middle-class neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
His parents are hard workers, you know, bring home the bread and butter, sit down at the table, say grace, eat together. They go to the park and they go to the movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, those are forms of teaching. Those are kinds of positive indoctrinations. We just call them socialization. It's part of the socialization process. Okay? Now, if dad or mom starts saying to John, well, son, we work hard. We work hard, you know, we have the right kinds of values. But those people that live 10 miles from us, they're not like us.
Mm.
They don't have the same intelligence that we do. They don't have the abilities that we do. So you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful that when you're around them, you can't trust them. Understand that you've got to protect all of these things that I have. Obviously that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of separation, this type of making these kinds of negative differences, this indoctrination to fear others, indoctrination to be suspicious of others.
Mm.
Indoctrinations of not accepting others. You know where this is most profound, where we find it its greatest expression?
Mm.
In religion.
Uh-oh.
In institutional religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, many times differences, a lot of the anger, the agitation between peoples is because of their most sacred beliefs, you see. I want to ask you this. I want to preface, I've got to preface my next remark with a kind of question. And, you know,
okay.
We are allowed on the Reconnected Show to refer to political events, are we not?
It's okay. Keep in mind that since a lot of our shows are rebroadcast, so a year from now, it might not have the same relevancy. So
right, that's true.
So general terms are better, you know.
Absolutely. No, you're right. But one of the things, President Obama
yes.
had a recent visit to Israel. In fact, I was this past week. And I believe he spoke to an audience of university students. And many places in the media now, they're describing this as an historic visit. Apparently, his message was very profound. Now, again, this may be broadcast, as you say, you know, obviously, time from now. But one of the things that was noted about President Obama's speech is that it was inclusive. That it brought people together rather than separated them. It emphasized their commonalities rather than their differences.
Okay.
And one of the comments that President Obama made in this speech that was quite profound. He was talking to these students, and he was also alluding to Palestinians, to all people who live in this region. And he said, and he said to them very calmly, "You all have a right to exist."
All right.
All have a right to exist.
Mm.
That is a very profound statement. And it is an example of positive, healthy, healing indoctrination.
Mm.
Now, let's take the child that's not being given the message that he or she does not have a right to exist.
Okay.
Let's take Johnny or Jane in that home situation where the kind of indoctrination that they receive is usually negative.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do this? You shouldn't have done that. You're good for nothing.
Mm.
Told you time and time again, you just keep getting in trouble. Why can't you get your grades up? What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not discrimination?
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, positive indoctrination would be what? I'm going to help you. Let me help you. Let's sit down. Where are you having problems with? Is this arithmetic giving you a problem? Johnny, I love you, Johnny. You really did a great job yesterday cutting the grass.
Mm.
Or Sue, you do a great job when I ask you to wash the dishes. Or just, you want me to tell you a three-word statement that's one of the most powerful forms of indoctrination?
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
Whoa, that's too heavy.
How often does the average parent tell his or her children, "I love you"?
Not enough, obviously.
Not enough.
No, and, you know, that's really heavy right there, because I'm telling you, even though I was kind of getting a little bit, idea is really serious, because what happens, you know, they don't say this, because see, it takes a heart of integrity and sincerity to look that child in their eyes and say, "I truly love you." When they say, "I truly love you," they're going beyond the exterior child they see. They're going to the child within a child, to the soul of that child. So they got in there and put that love and plant that love there. And that is something that a lot of parents have not been used to doing. It was not done for them. So that's the area of unfamiliarity. That's why we don't hear it.
Right. So if the parent does not say, "I love you," I guarantee you the world will say it to that child. But the outcome won't be the same.
Okay.
You see, if I don't hear that at home, "I love you," I'm going to look for it somewhere else. If I don't hear it in the right way, from the right people at home, you see, in the right manner,
mm-hmm.
at the right time, I'm going to go searching for it And you see, the world, when I use this term, the world, of course I mean in a general sense. I'm talking about negative indoctrination.
Yes.
You see, when I go look for it, there are elements out in the world that will seize upon an opportunity to fill in this gap.
Mm-hmm.
And these elements will convey to me this false sense of acceptance. If they don't, we love you.
Mm.
If they don't love you, see, understand, if they can't, we can. We can. Now, 4 years ago, when President Obama was running for his first term, what was the political cliche? What was the political cliche that was used throughout his campaign? Three words. Yes, we can.
All right.
That's what parents should be doing. That's what parents should be teaching their children.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yes, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, because you was in the we.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I love you. Yes, we can. And
mm-hmm.
yes, you can.
Yeah. That by itself is so very powerful. It really is. Because how would a kid know? How would they know they have the ability to achieve? How would they know if no one gives them the permission or no one says they can?
That's right. This is exactly the point. How would they know to really believe what they want to say, that I can? How would they really know if they don't hear it from others, if they don't see it in behavior? You see, we're not talking really about indoctrination. We are, in a sense. We're talking about, as you reminded the audience and me, we were talking earlier about insulation. We talked about identification. And now we're talking about indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
So insulation, I'm protected from what harms me and making sure that what's good stays in. Identification is that hopefully I want to be able to relate to and associate with positive things and positive role models around me. But that association in itself doesn't mean anything. It's like saying simply because you're next to a person that's a great teacher doesn't mean that by some osmosis that you're sitting in the next chair that all of that knowledge and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somehow you're going to get that, right? It's got to be transmitted. It's got to be communicated.
Right.
So in that same respect, child is properly insulated. The child is around individuals that are positive. There's a positive relationship, but there also has to be some communication. There's got to be some specific language, chosen teaching. Chosen. What we've done here, what I've tried to do here, is to share the beginning, share the very beginning of what should be in place and should be cultivated in that family or in that primary group.
Mm.
I love you. Yes, we can. Yes, you can.
That is so powerful. It really is so powerful. Yes, you can. That's so powerful. And when you have a household that has a lot of confusion, chaos, and that's the norm, even though the particular child might not get direct, negative programming from the parents, it's in the environment. They're breathing it. They're seeing it. They're witnessing it. They're feeling it because it's there. And so wouldn't you say, even though they don't get that direct indoctrination, they're still getting it by osmosis? What do you think?
Well, yeah, they're getting it. It's being communicated by the world, the immediate world they're around, in the home, in the household.
Okay.
You see, even they're getting it. It's not possible for them not. In other words, they're getting the message, no, we can't.
Mm.
No, I can't.
Mm.
We don't love each other. That's the indoctrination they're getting.
Oh, my God.
Now, how many people do you know that go around saying, no, I can't, no, we can't, we don't deserve this, we shouldn't have this? People don't walk around ordinarily talking like that, do they?
No, they don't.
They show it in their actions.
Mm-hmm.
They show it in their attitudes, in their actions. And this is what is communicated to that child. See, you know, how many people literally go around, and we know it happens, unfortunately, in the cases of child abuse, we know it happens. But let's say on the average, people don't go around saying to their children, I don't love you, I don't hate you. It's what they do.
Right, it's what they do, right. Right.
That relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that kind of goes back to my book. I talk about the 93/7 principle of communication, which basically means 93% of what gets accepted and internalized is your presentation. You see?
Yeah.
And only 7% are the actual words.
Yes. Now, when you make your presentation, you got to be present. Right?
You would think.
Well, you see, the obviously presentation implies that you are there.
Yes, yes, yes.
You are the one that's actually there. But in many times, this is not the case.
Right.
What happens is I react, I respond to my child, but I'm not responding as a loving parent, as a teacher, as a mentor. I'm responding in a manner that the child receives and perceives as dangerous or fear. I create fear. You see how I talk to my child, what I say to my child, and obviously what I do with my child, either in some, depending on the nature of it, either leads to fear, it leads to caution and fear. Or in simple words, it leads to what's called an avoidance response.
Mm.
My child. Now, if I present myself, if I approach my child, would I love you? Yes, we can. Yes, you can. It produces an approach. Approach. See, approach. Connection. Reconnection.
Mm-hmm.
And if this pattern is not stopped, this pattern of inducing fear and caution is not stopped, when that child becomes an adult, and obviously if that child becomes a parent, we have what? We have a repeat of the same style that you're talking about, the same kind of indoctrination. See, and this is the reason why it's so important to recognize, for example, it's very important to recognize that it is not the role of school, of the school, to teach my child how to live. That is not the role of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It is my responsibility to inculcate and teach my child how to live a healthy, balanced life. How to communicate the positive messages, the positive indoctrination. And what I'd like to say, knowing that the clock is winding down, I would also like to include this, is positive indoctrination also includes teaching your child about the dangers that they may encounter, the dangers being, you know, destructive ideas, destructive attitudes and beliefs. In other words, you can't just teach a child the happy side. In terms, you don't try to make the world appear like an ice cream cone or heaven.
Sounds good.
Because when the temperature increases, that ice cream cone is going to melt.
Uh oh.
It's going to melt. So positive indoctrination is that I'm teaching my child, you know, about those things that don't bring positive results. Positive indoctrination is teaching my child, you know, about beliefs and things, you know, the things out here in the world that are not good for his or her development.
Mm-hmm. And so, right there, Dr. Brown, if I can, we'll put a little pause there. We have a comment.
Yeah.
Looks like from a girlfriend, Dr. Applewhite. Dr. Applewhite, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Brown. Oh, my goodness.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Always.
How are you doing?
Always a pleasure to hear from you. And I have a few moments here because I've got something. I've got a student at 12 o'clock just when the show ends. And I just wanted to really elaborate a little bit on one of the things that you said, and that is that the issue of the children becoming parents themselves.
Yes. Yes. We still
are
connected?
Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I got you now.
Wonderful. The issue is that is why I deal with adult students, because the adult students that I deal with, most of them have children. And if they are losing hope, if they are not able to succeed with their goals, it is almost a perpetual situation where their children, even though they may be pushing them to, you know, that you're going to go to college, you're going to do this with your life, the model in front of them, their parents, are not expressing that.
Right. Right.
And that is why we have the teen pregnancy, the generational pregnancy issues, and the generational learned helplessness that we see many times in our system.
May I comment on that, Dr. Applewhite?
Please, please.
Talk is cheap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys are having a lot of fun on this show. I like it. What do you mean? When you say talk is cheap, are you talking about the
isn't
parent that stands in front of pardon me?
Isn't that what I'm telling my child?
Yeah. You're telling your child not to smoke and you have a cigarette in your mouth.
Right.
All right. All right. And see, now that goes back to my 93/7 principle of communication idea again. See, yeah.
Nazim.
You know, what side of the fence are you really on? The 7 or the 93? You're on the 93, and that's what the child sees and experiences.
That's right. Absolutely. And a great psychologist, sociologist, I believe, Bandura. Brought that out, that
yes,
children model the behavior that they see.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. He did.
I thank you so much for bringing that out. Hopefully we can get some of these parents to start looking at themselves and become motivated to succeed in their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of blaming the fact that they have children, and that's the reason why I could not succeed, is because
right,
of you.
Right, and you know that that's a form of indoctrination.
Yes.
That actually reflects a kind of indoctrination.
Yes, it is, sir. Yes,
now,
it is.
Now, see me right there. It looks like, you know, for the parent who really, let's look at the young parent who wants to do right by their children. Say, for instance, they haven't had children yet. They want to have a family, but they want to do it right. Even though I never really see this, but idea that they want to do it right. So, wouldn't they have to have a high level of faith that they can do it if they have not been told that they could do it by their own parents?
You know what? That's very important. Can I want to go back to the three phrases we said and include another one.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, yes we can, yes you can, and yes I can.
Mm.
See what you're saying? Yes I can.
I see. See.
See, the yes I can is when I'm given the positive indoctrination by my parents.
Mm.
The yes I can, right? That has to
mm-hmm.
be there before I can say I love you, yes we can, and yes you can.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that does do it, exactly, for sure. Yeah, and so like we were mentioning earlier about looking at talking about faith, this looks like another level because, you know, you have to, if you weren't told this yourself, if you weren't, I didn't have it myself, a lot of us didn't have it, but if you were not told this, but you have a sense inside yourself that you can make a difference in the next generation, you can do this, you see, that takes a high level of faith and which is above the level that a lot of us probably are familiar with, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you see, is a difference between, you see, if I choose not to give my children positive indoctrination, inevitably the world is going to give them indoctrination.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the world may not tell them that they can.
Mm-hmm. Or they might say, you can, as long as you do it my way.
Right.
Okay, that's even clearer. You see, that is profound. That is profound.
It was,
Nazim.
That is, you know.
And that's what we hear. That's what we see.
Because it's a matter of control, isn't it? It's a matter of control.
Yeah,
yes,
you that.
Can do it my way. Oh, man, this show is awesome today.
Well, I tell you what I want to do, I want to look at since we had a lot of people interested in our faith series we did, I think it was last year or maybe a time before that, our faith series, we want to look at taking this to another level because there's another level of faith. I mean, we look at the idea of someone stepping out onto, like on an Indiana Jones movie with his, you know, person, Indiana Jones had to get across the cavern. All you saw was fog and doom, and a voice inside said, "Step out on faith."
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you saw was death and the end of his life when he physically looked over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
When he kept his eyes focused straight ahead and physically put his foot out there, the bridge appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about that because a lot of us who didn't get the healthy parenting about yes, we can, yes, you can, yes, I can, we didn't get that. We need to see how we can pull from the divine sources inside of us, where all the sources are anyway, and create those other parental voices inside that tell us those same things. About that.
You know, in neurological research, that's called the bliss point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bliss point. When you hit it on the head, you're right in the light, and that's what you're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the
light. You know what? I'm writing this down. The bliss point. Okay, you know what? That's what we're going to talk about next time.
Right.
All right. Right. I hear you. The bliss point. I like that.
It's used in research on appetite. It's used in research on appetite and how by producing certain food products, you can put ingredients in them so hopefully you can mimic the bliss point in the brain. We're talking about bliss point in terms of development, in terms of reconnection.
Matter of fact,
and there's no chronological age that you reach that bliss point at. It is sense of maturity.
Right. Oh, wow. This. Whoa, we fly. Whoa.
All right. I'm making notes here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, make a note. I tell you
well,
what, I really can't write fast enough. But tell you what, I want to do, Dr. Brown. If you can forward to me, cause I wish I knew shorthand. If you can forward to me a little discussion statement about Bliss Point,
mm-hmm.
and forward that to me, and I'll write that in, and that'll be on the calendar next time we meet. How about that? Can we do this?
Great, yeah. That's great. We can talk about that other Bliss Point.
Yeah, this is good. I like this. This is good. And this will tap in, because when we talk about something that's not familiar like this, it gets your attention. Say, oh, what's that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You got my full attention. What's that now? Now the brain is open and the receptive channel is on.
Don't get me started, Nazim. The receptive.
I'm telling
you. Gates are now wide open. So that's what we want. Okay. All right. Praise be.
Well,
okay.
You.
All right. All right. So we're going to stop there. But we thank Dr. Brown for coming on for a very enlightening and enriching program again.
Thank you, as usual. Thank you.
We congratulate him for having the most hits, by the way, Dr. Brown has had the most hits on the Reconnected show. With 1,614 hits for one show, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So we want to congratulate Dr. Brown for doing that.
Congratulations. I can't wait to get him on the Student to Teacher show.
Well, all right. All right. Well,
thank you.
That's a phone call. All right, so we're going to end the show. But I thank everybody for coming out there. Remember, everybody tune into the number two, Student to Teacher show, which comes on an hour before the Reconnected show, and hear that show, and that will prime you for the Reconnected show, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
That's wonderful. So I expect that we'll have more miracles happen after this, because our numbers are increasing. I love it. So thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Okay.
JCPenney Home Services, now offering custom window treatments, HVAC installation, bathroom remodels, and more.